Gospel of Mark and looking forward how God is working in it each and every week. And as I've mentioned before, and we'll probably continue to mention, we're going to learn from him. Lots of times things that we feel like are in the Bible or we know that are in the Bible or things that we've learned as you walk with the Lord and Savior, we'll see how he handles things and how he does things. And today we're being introduced to a parable Jesus teaches. It's called the parable of the sower. And the emphasis that's placed upon here is listening and hearing and the type of heart people respond with. And it's familiar to many people, but the truths that are found in it are really impactful. Most would tell you that this parable is referring to how a unsaved person responds to a presentation of the gospel. And also, some would tell you it's a representation how even as a believer responds to truth when they hear it. And so today we're going to look at it a little bit from both sides. I believe in the purest form, in the context of the scripture, is referring to those when you're offering and giving out the gospel and how people respond. But also, I think there's a lot of application you can make about listening. And as a believer and as a Christian, as you listen and how you respond to things is so important, so key. Sometimes people like to blame it on the message. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. It's the word of God, and it's truth. It gets out there, and God takes it and talks about sowing a seed. You take the truth. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. It's us giving it out. It's us giving it. And sometimes people like to blame the preacher, and sometimes the preacher isn't the most talented. Sometimes he's not the most eloquent. Sometimes he can be dry and boring. Nobody say amen there, I'll say amen. But at the same time, it's not about even the person who's doing the sowing. It's our responsibility to go out. It's our responsibility to sow. But it's how we're listening and how we respond to it. That's the emphasis that's placed here. As we've been watching, as Jesus has walked through, we've seen that he's had people that have been giving him a hard time and people who actually just sit there and watch him just because they're not interested in learning, but instead they just want to see when he messes up, they want to be able to attack him, they want to accuse him, they want to do all these things. Their heart is so hard that no matter what was said, it wasn't going to matter. I mean, this Jesus performed miracle after miracle after miracle right in front of their faces. Didn't matter. It was a very hard heart. And that's one of the things there. No matter what was said, it did not make a difference. But Jesus here, we see here, he's still being followed by multitudes in verse number one. It says, and he began again to teach by the seaside. Once again, the emphasis always that Christ puts on it is the teaching. Many people want to see the miracles. Many people want all the different parts of the show, but he always is there and he's teaching. That's always been the emphasis, is the teaching and preaching. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, once again, still masses of people, so that he entered into a ship. And we talked about this before in the previous chapters. What we looked at is that many times people were trying to get to him for the healing, that he would be driven right into the water. So he would use this many times as a platform, a ship. He would cast himself a little bit off the water so he could speak to a great multitude of people, but also be safe, and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He says, and he taught them many things by parables. What's a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. There's an application that's there, and it causes you to want to think. In the day and time that we live in, we many people don't like to think or ponder or meditate. But the parable is something that as Jesus is giving an illustration to show many times earthly things that they would be able to relate to, and then he applies it to spiritual things and the spiritual feedback that's there. Look what it says here in verse number, and he says, he taught many things by parable and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, and here's if there was a key verse, it'd be right here. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is the truth, is if you have ears to hear, listen to what God is saying. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. And he tells this story. He's talking about those a farmer that would go out and he would sow his seed and the different type of grounds and the different type of soils that it would land upon. And as he went, sometimes they went by the what they call it the by the way of the side. There the it came to pass in verse number 4, and some fell by the wayside. And what is the wayside? The wayside is referring to the paths that are surrounding the fruitful ground or the fruitful soil or the good soil. The wayside would have been where people would be walking or animals would be walking. And over the years, it becomes so hard. It becomes so hard as a rock to where maybe they would have the horse go through it or maybe some type of wagon or something like that. It becomes so hard and so rock hard that the seed would have no chance to enter in. And it talks about what's going to happen. It says that the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Okay. The second type of ground is a stony ground. And with the stony ground is the rock. It's a rocky ground, but there's a thin layer of soil that's there. So you don't always know that it's rocky. You're never always going to be able to see it from the outside. But when the seed gets cast into that, as it says in verse number 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So immediately the seed gets it, it pops up. Everybody, hey, look, it's taking root. But it doesn't, because in verse number 6 it says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Meaning it had nothing to hold itself and keep itself alive. Verse number 7 talks about a thorny ground. It talks about how even though the thorns may have been cut off the top, but underneath the soil there was thorns. And it talks about how when the seed was sowed, it says they fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. That the thorns itself would take the life and the nutrients necessary to cause the seed to be able to sprout up and to grow. Now that everybody listens to that and they're all listening, they're trying to understand, and they're like, oh, that's confusing. And even by just listening and reading it, sometimes the Word of God, the deeper things of the Word of God are something that you have to study for, you have to dig for. He's teaching them a earthly story that they can learn and grow from, but even his disciples in verse number 10, it says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So this says they that were about him, meaning it wasn't just the disciples, with the 12 asked them about the parable. They're interested. They want to know. But God doesn't want us to wonder what he's trying to say. His word says it. But to get to the deeper things of God, to have a good understanding, we need to let God teach us and the Holy Spirit of God and compare Scripture with Scripture. Verse number 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he's saying that those that really want to truly know and understand the mystery of the kingdom and want to know the things of God, you can learn and you can study and you can grow. But to those that are just the novice hearers or maybe those that were in the crowds just looking to despise him and to accuse him and to make mockery of him, he says there's certain people that never understand it. Verse number 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they shall be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Is that saying that there's a group of people that Jesus does not want to get saved? No, it's not. But what it's saying there is that there's a group that is not responding, that is not as listening, and he speaks in these parables so that way that if you're interested and truly want to know the truth and want to learn what the truth is, they can ask and they can learn. But he says in verse 13, another important verse, he says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? He says, and how then will ye know all parables? He said, this parable is important. It introduces a thought and introduces an important theme. You need to listen. Listen to what God is saying. Listen to what his word is saying. Listen to what the truth is. It's not about what we interpret and what we develop. Make sure our heart is ready to receive the teaching and preaching of God's word. Make sure our hearts are ready to hear what the word of God has to say. It's coming to the word of God with an open heart and an open mind, asking God to teach us and to show us those things that are found in it and being willing to say yes to whatever he says. Then he begins to give an interpretation of the parable or explain the parable. Sower soweth the word. What is the word referring to? The seed is the word of God. As I mentioned earlier, there's no problem with the Bible. You don't need to change the Bible. It's there. It's the Word of God. This is what we sow. This is what we give out. We don't give out things about ourselves. We don't give out things about... And once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying it. I love my church Sunday and the idea that, hey, we love our church. We love what it stands for. We believe you would love it too. Let me encourage you to come out and be a part of our service. Let's share a meal together. You know, but it's not about the church. You know, Christ instituted the church, and it's about Jesus Christ, and it's about the teaching and the doctrines that are there. And that's the emphasis that's there. So I don't want you to think that when we try to impress somebody, we're not trying to impress them with the church. We're trying to impress them with Jesus. Because the church may fail you. People in the church may change. People might fail you. People may disappoint you. But Jesus never fails. And when he comes to this spot, and he's saying here, he says, look, that if you get this, it's going to help you understand everything else. It's how you receive the Word of God. It's what you think about, how you learn from it, how you grow from it. Is your soil ready? Is your heart ready to see what God's Word has to say? Because sometimes people's hearts become so cold and so hard, it just bounces right off it, just like that ground was. And sometimes the ground, it springs up and they're super excited, but it doesn't last because they never really get it, never really understand it, never really takes root. Oh, that sounds good to me. And they get excited about it, but they don't stick. It doesn't last. And then there's others who wouldn't mind receiving the word and want to listen to the word, but the thorny ground takes it and chokes the life right out of it. And you're going to see what that thorny ground looks like. But then there's a good soil. There's a soil that's prepared and ready to receive the seed, ready to receive and become fruitful. And the seed is not the problem. Every seed is able to be fruitful. It's not this, and you look what it says here, continues on, and it says, and the sower soweth. It's not even referring. Now, Jesus is obviously the one sowing the seed here, but the emphasis is upon us as the sower also. It says, and these are they by the wayside. And so he gives the interpretation of the different soils. And these are they by the wayside, referring to the wayside that was mentioned in verse number 5, or actually verse number 4, excuse me. He says, where the word is sown, talking about the word being given out. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it's when the word of God is given out, is our heart is so hard that it doesn't penetrate at all. Sometimes somebody comes to church, and you couldn't imagine this because I know nobody's like that here, of course. But they come and they sit and they say, I don't care what that preacher says or what the music sounds like or what anything happens. I'm not leaving this place changed. I'm going to be the exact way as when I come in. My heart is so hard that no matter what is said or no matter what is done, nothing is going to change me. And I'm glad for every person that comes, but that's not the reason why we come to church. We come to church to hear the preaching and teaching of God's word. We come to hear the message. We come to worship. We come to be changed, to become more like him each and every day. But sometimes people's hearts are so hard and so rock hard that no matter what happens, so why would they come? Well, maybe they're coming for a family member. Maybe they're coming because of the fact that if they didn't, then their testimony or their reputation might be harmed. But there are some people whose heart is so hard because they're angry with someone else or because of bitterness that is in their heart, and that no matter what happens, no matter what's said, I'm not going to change. And then you see how he explains the next one. Verse number 16. It says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And you think about it, well, immediately receiving it's a good thing. It is. But there's no root that there is. And it says, receive with gladness in verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction and persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Here in this description, they're talking about it didn't have much earth. The stony soil is not a field with a number of stones, but it's a thin layer of soil over a rock. It's deceptive in the fact that it immediately springs up and the soil is warmed by the rock underneath the soil. And this condition causes the seed to quickly begin to grow. But that quick growth is deceitful, for it appears to be a good soil when in truth it's bad soil. There's deficiency when it comes to this, because when the sun is up, it's scorched, and because it had no root, it withers away. The deficiency of the soil was that it did not allow a place for the roots to develop. Thus, when the sun beats down on and scorches a seedling, the plant would soon wither because it had no root to keep it going from the heat. And so it gives us that picture there of the stony ground. And then the next one, it says, and have no root in themselves, and so verse 17, and so endure but for a time afterwards when affliction and persecution came, when it became difficult, ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares, and look what it says, that when you care about these other things more than the truth, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20 is the last verse for today. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the blessing of God on the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to this passage of Scripture that some could consider confusing. Lord, it's truth that's here. The overwhelming theme is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we receiving what God is saying? Are we receiving what the Word of God has for us? And Lord, we know that there's unbelievers that need the Word of God, need the truth. And many times sometimes the rock is so hard, the heart is so hard, it's just going to bounce right off and Satan's going to gobble it right up. Other times, Lord, there's times when they say, this is something I want, this is something I need, but do not make the commitment, do not. And then there's other times, Lord, when they're considering what it means to become a Christian, that they will let the things of this world stop them from truly believing in you. God, I pray you help if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, Savior, that they would see their need. They would respond to the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would convict their heart. And Lord, they would be saved. And Lord, even to those that are believers in this room, as I read this and I understand this, I see many times how the word of God, even in a believer's heart, can sometimes become so hard that they've let sin dominate and they let bitterness come in to the point that it's just hard. And Lord, they know they need to change. They choose to let the word of God just fall on deaf ears. Lord, I've even seen believers who have thorny ground and that they begin to love the things of this world so much that it chokes out the truths that they heard and want to believe. And Lord, I know sometimes that we respond very shortly and we want something and it springs up quickly. And it's something we desire and we want, but we don't let it take root. Lord, today, help this message not to be in any way, shape, form confusing. But Lord, help us to have ears to hear. Help us to be willing to respond, because when we get this right, when we learn to listen and be interested in obeying and believing, Lord, many other things will help, because we will learn to in every other area in our heart too. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to think about this morning, just three simple points. It's the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Now, when we think about the sower, we're referring to the fact that the person that's going out and distributing the seed. And the sower is important. We've all been called to be a sower. He is sowing the word of God, and we're going to talk about that with the seed, but we all need to go in the Spirit of God and sow the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And I know what that's referring to is referring into our giving, but also I believe that has an application when it comes to sowing the seed of the Word of God. The more we sow, the more opportunities that people have to hear the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, you're going to sow bountifully. You're going to reap bountifully. The more that you sow, and if you sow, make sure I get it right, sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. Sometimes people are like, I don't understand why people aren't being saved. I don't understand why we don't have more people in the church. I don't understand why God doesn't change more people's lives. But oftentimes, they don't take the time to give out a gospel tract. They don't take the time to be able to be a witness to others. So if we are sowing sparingly, then how can we expect to reap anything but sparingly? And I want to encourage you today to be a sower of the Word of God. This is the truth of the Word of God. And as he was saying, that not everybody understood this, but if you have ears to hear, listen to what he's saying. Let him hear what God's Word is saying. And he gives application. He explains it. And sometimes to the heart of the matter, it is the deeper things of God, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians, that he will reveal unto us as we become students of the Word of God and truly desire to be interested in it. He tells us the sower is the one who actually sows the Word of God, and it might be the Spirit of God that does this. It may be a preacher, it may be a teacher, it may be a missionary, it could even be a gospel tract, it could be a witness, whatever it is, but we need to get the Word of God out. And I think it's amazing the day and time that we live in, because there are so many different ways that the Word of God is sent out. It's sent out through preaching. It's sent out through teaching. It's sent out through podcasts. It's sent out on the internet. And the internet is one of the most dangerous places in the world. And I think you should have accountability things, and you should have blockers in and all those other things. But at the same time, it is a great tool to get the Word of God out and to get the gospel out. We should see the different ways that we can sow the Word of God and be a part of sowing the Word of God. Yesterday, we had Outreach Saturday. And most of the times, on Outreach Saturday, some go out to visit homes, but more, it's a canvassing time. And what we do is we go put things on the door, and as we do that, we try to reach as many people by leaving gospel tracts at their house and information about upcoming activities at our church. Other times on visitation on Saturdays, many times people will go and they'll actually knock on doors and they will ask and invite people to church. And if they have the opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with them, they will try to engage the person in a spiritual conversation at their home, at their front door, to try to talk to them about the truth of the Word of God. Why would somebody do that? It seems like it would be uncomfortable for you and uncomfortable for them. Well, the Bible says they went from house to house in the book of Acts, and it talks about Paul that we looked about on Wednesday night. He went from house to house teaching and preaching the Word of God, and I want us to be encouraged with this thought. We need to get the Word out, and yes, there's different ways. There's different forms. There's some people that do it through street preaching. There's some people that do it with booths. Sometimes when there's a potato festival or a Christmas parade, there's all different types of avenues and ways to get the Word out, but the importance is to get the Word out. And somebody say, hey, yeah, I think the preacher should do that. It's not just for the preacher. It's for all of us. And one-on-one personal invitations is always, in my mind, the most effective way. Now, I agree. Preaching and teaching, many of us were saved under the preaching. I know that it was at a preaching service on a Saturday night of a revival that I came forward. God convicted my heart of my sin, and I knew exactly, I'd been in church all my life, and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I confessed my sins. I turned to him, and I put my faith and trust in him and him alone. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what we need to do. We need to get the Word of God out so people will hear. So that is the sower. We've all been called to be sowers. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells us to go. The second thing I want you to think about, and just for a moment, is the seed. See, we don't have enough sowers. There's many people who reject the thought, the process of, hey, I need to tell other people about Jesus Christ. They just that's not my job. They choose to be dull in their hearing. The Bible says, let him have ears to hear, let him hear. We need to hear this. We should be telling other people. The truths found in there showed us that the first century church turned the world upside down by sowing the seed. The second thing I want you to think about is the seed. The seed is the gospel. The gospel, it is the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners. He rose again from the dead and offers full and free salvation to everyone who will receive him and believe and trust in what the Word of God says. In this parable, the seed produces fruit and some does not. The problem does not lie in the seed, though. The problem lies in the soil or the response of the person to the seed's given. Each kernel held the potential to produce fruit. Each kernel has a potential to produce, have life. The problem was not the seed. The problem was the soil. So I want you to remind you that there is truth that is to be gotten out into the world. And it's not that we have a problem with the word or the seed. It's the sower that doesn't often do the work. It's not the seed that is the issue. Bible even says in Psalms 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, I love that verse because he that goeth forth, it means that you actually had to sow. You had to actually get up. And you actually have to go somewhere. It's not going to happen if you have a garden or if you work at a farm. If you just had the seed sitting in the bag, it's never going to produce the fruit. You have to get up and put it in the ground. And it says, "Goeth forth." And then you think, not only says it go forth, it says weepeth. It talks about a person that understands and has the burden for seeing people saved, having weeping and understand the need of the world and that they are emotionally attached to the fact that this word needs to go out, this seed needs to go out. It's so important and precious. And then it continues on, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," bearing the word of God, not bearing their thoughts or their opinions, "shall doubtless," and I love that word, doubtless, it means it's going to happen, "shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So the seed is there. It's the word of God. Do you listen to the word of God? So many times we take and pick and choose. "Oh, I don't like that part. Oh, I don't." And it's not that I don't understand that part. It's just I don't like what it said. This is God's word. We must learn to listen to what his word is saying. And the third thing is the soil. That's what we're spending the most thought on there because there's three different examples. One thing I want you to remind you, it's not your job to go out there to test the soil. Now, I know sometimes when you're planting and different things, I had asked a gentleman one time about if we were going to have a garden at our house, where would be the best spot on the property because they understood soil. And, you know, there are certain spots. And he says, well, if you're going to do it, you don't want to do it here because the soil would not bear the fruit or would not raise. Over here would be the best spot. And they talked about different reasons. And sometimes you'll pit certain vegetables or certain fruits in certain soils and not others because of the production that's there. I know you're like, why are you saying all this? It's because you don't have to do that with the seed of the Word of God. We all need the Word of God. And sometimes people go out there and say, well, I think this person needs the gospel, and I don't think that person's going to ever listen. They're never going to learn. No, we've been told to go out into all the world. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what part of the country they're from or what part of the world is. Everyone needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we go out to sow the seed, we're not going to sit there and say, well, I think that person make a good church member. I'm going to go invite them to church. No, we're supposed to go into all the world. We're supposed to reach out to all types of all different ages, of all different types of groups. And so the message that is here is don't be a soil tester or a soil sampler. Be someone who is sowing. The soil in this parable represents the heart or mind of a person who hears the gospel. Everyone hears the gospel in a different way. Some will revile it. Some will reject it. Some will receive it. The soil that is the primary emphasis here in the Word of God, and is saying here, remember as you go out, there are going to be people that the Word of God is just going to bounce off of. There'll be others that might say, yeah, I'm even excited. And they might even make a profession of faith, but never truly allowed the Word of God to get into their heart and really knows what it means. There is a dangerous thing that we live in. There's a lot of people out there who, preachers that have done an easy believism when the idea that they say, hey, just say these things and repeat after me, you're going to go to heaven when you die. There's much more to salvation than that. There's a lot more truth to it than that. And sometimes people are like, hey, yeah. And you get somebody excited about it. Hey, you don't want to go to hell someday. Hey, you don't want to go. So let's just say these words. And magically, it doesn't work that way. It's when we have a true understanding what the Word of God teaches is that we're all sinners and in need of salvation. And that our sin must be dealt with. And the only way that our sin was able to be dealt with is what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And as Christ came to this world to pay our sin debt, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures so we could have a way, an opportunity to go to heaven. It's when we understand that we're a sinner and that we would be eternally separated from God, and God convicts us of our sin and shows us our need. And by faith, we put our trust in him. There's more to it, and that's what the impression they're giving here is that, hey, look, yeah, it looked good to them, and they said, hey, let me try this out without truly turning to him. And then you also see that there's the thorny one that talks about, and it says in verse number 18, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." It's the idea when presenting the gospel, it's as if there's the things of this world is just stopping people from truly believing and wanting to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the last one is the good soil. And you see the different results there from the 30, the 60, and the 100. It's the soil that's there. Now, that's kind of the idea from an unsaved perspective, from an unbeliever. If you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not just asking if you said some words. I'm saying, did you understand what you did? And did you put your faith and trust in him that day? Because if not, the word of God is something that's saying you need to be saved and on your way to heaven. And the issue is here, there's no spiritual fruit. You see the one that's there. Some people say, well, they're just talking about believers and how they respond. Now, they're saying there's no spiritual fruit. If you're a believer, there's going to be some spiritual fruit. At some point in time in your life, there was a change in your life. If you're truly a believer, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There should be spiritual fruit in your life. And that's what it's saying here. There was no fruit that was yielded in verse number 7. Verse number 6, it withered away, and there was no death. So there's no fruit there. Now, I do think you can make application, and for a few minutes, I want to make applications to the believers and the fact that I've seen believers act like this too. They hear, and it's the same thing. Those that have ears, let them hear. And sometimes the word of God, that person's heart is hard, and they maybe allowed sin or bitterness or anger or something come so hard in their heart. I don't care what any preacher says, I'm never going to change. First, you need to go back to the day you got saved and make sure that your heart is right and that you're a Christian. Secondly, we need to repent of that sin, because covering your sin is not going to make you prosper. The Bible says the person who confesses and forsaketh shall find mercy. And then, but as a believer, sometimes people will take the word of God and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm super excited. Let me be in. Let me get involved. But they don't ever back it up with the word of God. They don't ever understand it. And sometimes you see people who will sign up, hey, I'm going to read my Bible every single day this year. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to give out a tract every day. I'm going to do this or that and that. When you see it springs up, but you didn't let the word of God do the work. You didn't let God be the one to teach you. You're inconsistent. You're weak when it comes to it. Sometimes even apathetic. And that's hard sometimes. But even in my own Christian life, I've seen that before. Yes. God spoke to my heart. That's something I want to do. I need to do. I'm going to grab a hold of it. And then it springs up. Hey, look, there's a result. It doesn't last. If you have ears, be listening. Because that's not the type of soil. You said, well, it's the preacher's fault. It's the message thought. No, it's how you're receiving the word's fault. And once again, you can blame the church. You can blame the pastor. I hope you don't blame the word of God. And some people do blame the word of God. They say it's outdated, but it's God of the universe wrote that book for us, even for this day and time. And we don't let it take root. We don't let it, God speaks to our heart, but we don't let it internalize. Another thing is, and I see this, and this is probably even, and it says when afflictions come in verse 17, when affliction and persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. And he's saying, look, when problems come, that's when they give up and it no longer matters. It's because it never took root. Believer today, if just because you're thrown off because of some heartache or hardship, trust in the Lord, depend upon him, strengthen yourself with the word of God. Trust and have faith in him. And then also you see the next one. It says, and they, in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Look at this. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter and choke the word. Sometimes when I believe when we're preaching is we hear the word of God, we internalize it, God speaking to our hearts. And then we allow the things of this world just to choke it. Oh, yes, I know I want to be a witness. Yes, I know I want to be the right husband, the right wife. I want to be the right servant of God. And the deceitfulness of riches has choked that out. The cares of this world, the lust of this world has taken what God is trying to do in our heart and what God is trying to speak to our hearts about. But I love the world too much, and I love this too much. I love this too much. And what God's trying to do, it actually takes it and chokes the life right out of it. How many times have we listened to God and God spoken to our heart about, hey, I need to join a church, or I need to be more faithful, or I need to be better at loving my wife, or I need to be better at being submissive to my husband, or I need better raising my children to be an example. And there's so many different things. And we've let the cares of this world, as it gives a description here, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and makes it unfruitful. So like I said this morning, I've been praying that God would make sure that the message was not confusing. There's many who have let the word of God be heard as an unsaved person. They've rejected it and they're hard about it. They maybe show a little bit of interest, but never truly turn to him. They've let the things of this world stop them from truly believing and trusting in him. But for a believer and as a Christian, I want you to understand and get this, that an application-wise, this is what happens to the word of God sometimes. It's here, it's available, it's there, but we don't want to listen because we love the world too much. We don't want to listen because of the fact that we don't want to take what's needed to be able to grow in our Christian life, in our Christian faith. If you go and you look at sister passages to the word of this, in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, at the end it says, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring it forth with patience." So same parable, same setting, but it's added a little bit to it, and it says, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So it's not just hearing the word, let him hear. It's more than just hearing. We're not supposed to be doers. We're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We're not supposed to be like the foolish man who hears the word of God and builds his house on the sand because they hear the word of God and they do not do it. We're supposed to hear the word of God and do it and be the wise man that builds it upon the rock. So Luke 8:15 puts it a little bit extra and says, having the heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. How's your heart this morning? How are you receiving the word of God today? The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means protect your heart from danger, from wickedness, from evil. That we need to learn to keep it and keep it safe. And the idea of keep, I've heard people use it as an illustration of a soccer goalie keeper. And they're there and they're keeping their net safe. And anything that comes its way, it bats it away and knocks it away and tries to get rid of it so that way it can't get in. And the same thing with our heart. We must learn to keep it and keep out the wickedness and the evil and the things that are corrupting or could cause our heart to go the wrong way. Keep it with all diligence because we need to hear the word of God. We need to receive the word of God and we need to obey the word of God. Here you see different examples of the person that, hey, heart's so hard, not going to listen. You see the example of, yes, I'm excited about the things of God, but I'm not going to make a commitment to it. You see the example of letting the things of this world stop you from making the commitment. And then you see the example of, hey, I want this. I want to make sure my heart's ready. And how do you open up your word in the morning? Do you come anxiously saying, God, I want you to speak to me today? My heart's ready. It's overflowing. It's clean. Lord, I'm interested. I'm going to study. Hearing a story that comes in verses 3 through 9, and I don't understand it all the way, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ask the Lord, hey, show that to me, and get the answers that's found in verses 11 through 20. I'm going to be anxious. I'm not just going to let the world say, hey, I don't understand that. Just forget it. No, I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. I desire. I want to have the right soil. God, teach me. Show me. If we come with an open heart and an open mind and say, Lord, whatever it is that you want, whatever you need to tear down so you can build me up, whatever it is that you need to get rid of so I can understand better, Lord, I'm in. That's the type of soil that God says he can take and he can grow and can make it fruitful. This morning, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? I remember somebody asking me that question. The reality is there are some people in the world today that would not hear that question, that would not even give consideration. That's stupid. That's the hard ground. There's others say, yeah, of course I want to go to heaven. There's others that would say, and I'm not willing to make that commitment. But today, if you died today, do you know what you would go to heaven? The Bible tells us that we can know that we have eternal life, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so we could have everlasting life. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. To those that are in the room that say, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, good message. I agree. Some people don't respond the right way. This message is for you also. How is your heart? How are you receiving the word of God? Is it something that you've let the world's cares, as it talks out in verse number 19, come so much that you don't care what the Bible says? Oh, I got to have my opinion. I got to have my way. I got to have this. This is this. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's wrong, whatever it is. And then, or is it deceitfulness of riches, that the fact that I would just find happiness by becoming a little bit wealthier, having a little bit more stuff, it deceives people all the time, thinking that will bring happiness. There's no true joy outside of Jesus Christ. You can keep on jamming as much stuff as you want into your life, and you're never going to find true joy and peace and happiness outside of him. And last but not least, had the lust of other things entered into your heart. Wanting something that God never designed for you to have. Well, I got to have that. I want that person. I want that object. I want that relationship. The lusting after other things. And I know we all think about that as the idea of sexually driven things. And that is probably the primary interpretation, but it's wanting something that God never intended. The strange woman that's found in Proverbs chapter 5 is something that doesn't belong to you. And the same type of thing, there are certain relationships that we should not be a part of. There are certain activities we shouldn't be a part of. And we begin to lust and desire certain things that God's never intended us to do. And that will take the word of God that we take and listen to. We come here preached week after week, spend moments with it in the morning time, and we fail because of the fact that we don't strengthen ourselves. Our hearts aren't ready to receive. How's your heart this morning? Is it ready to receive the word of God? Let him that have ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And Jesus said, about all the other parables that are coming, this was towards the beginning of his ministry. He says, if you get this, you're going to understand the other ones. If you don't learn how to listen with your heart and have good soil, you're going to struggle understanding the other things. So today, I truly believe there's some believers today that are struggling with certain parts of the Bible because they never learned this. I have to have good heart, good soil to receive the word of God. I want to keep it and have peace because I believe what it says. But we pick and choose what we want to believe. There's no peace and there's no understanding. With obedience comes understanding. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts and lives this morning. Lord, I pray that there's someone here today that has never accepted you, never put their faith and trust in you, never understood or saw themselves as a sinner and responded by turning to you. Lord, I pray you help them today. Send the Holy Spirit of God to show them their need. Lord, I know it's not about who the sower is. Lord, we understand it's the word of God that goes across. And there's people who need a Savior. Lord, also I pray for those that are believers in the room today. Lord, help convict our hearts about being a sower of the word of God. Help us to be as parents, teaching the word of God, as it talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, at our house, on the walls, everywhere, when we sit down, when we're walking, when we're standing, be sowing the word of God. Lord, help us to be sowing the gospel of Jesus Christ all throughout this world, giving out gospel tracts, telling others about our testimony. Lord, help us not to be those that are sowing sparingly. Instead, Lord, help us to be sowing bountifully. God, I pray that we see the word of God and understand the word of God's not the problem. It's whether or not how we receive the word of God, how we're listening to it, how we're being obedient to it. It's not the Bible. It's our hearts many times is not ready to receive what you're trying to teach us. Help us make our hearts clean and ready to receive your word. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with